In Genesis chapter 3, we read about the fall of man. It's an account of the fall of man. You heard how the serpent came and deceived the woman, Eve. And this led to Adam disobeying. And so we have an account there of Adam's disobedience. What we have in this chapter is the work of the devil. The serpent later, it's explained to us later that that serpent was the devil. And in this chapter we see the work of the devil. And although there's lots of detail, you could sum up the work of the devil in two words, or sin and death. What did Satan bring into the life of Adam and all of us? He brought in sin and death. Sin and death. The Bible makes it clear that all mankind sinned in Adam and all mankind fell with him. And there we see Adam and, of course, at that time he was the only man with his wife Eve, which he named later. He fell, and it's as if we were there, and we fell there too. And in that day, Satan brought the human race, mankind, into captivity to his will. We became slaves, not free men. And so we see the introduction of sin, and we see also the penalty of death. And I'll just very briefly say to you that really death here has three parts. The first part is the death of the soul. Adam died in his soul that day. And then added to that comes afterwards the death of the body. The Lord said to him, "You are dust, and you will return to dust." So we have the death of the soul, and there's more we can say about that, but not tonight. There's the death of the soul, and then there's the death of the body. And Scripture says, and you know, there's something else to come after the death of the body. There's what we might call eternal death, or in one place it's called the second death. As it were, there's death in eternity. And that's a way of referring to being banished from God forever. So that's the first thing. We see the work of the devil bringing about the fall of mankind into sin and death. And the evidence of the work of the devil is all around us. In every country that I visited, and there's plenty I haven't, but in every country that I visited, I have found cemeteries. I have found hospitals trying to deal with the sick. I have found law courts and prisons. These are found everywhere. We see all around us wars. We see millions thinking with false ideas. Something has gone wrong in their thinking. We find particular evils. In this country, we are increasingly seeing the murder of the unborn child. And now, the murder of elderly people is on its way. And so it goes on. Now, Revelation chapter 21 sums it all up like this. You read these words. It says, God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain. But John is told, those are the former things. In other words, these are the things that mark our lives today. Look, tears in our eyes. Death, sorrow, crying, pain. This is, as it were, this is the work of the devil. And if you care on another occasion to go and read Romans chapter 1, for example, Paul from Romans chapter 1, he starts to, as it were, unpack what men have done, as it were, after the fall of Adam. It's all there in Romans chapter 1, verse 18 and onwards. And Paul in Romans, he comes to the conclusion, he says, and you see, there is none righteous. No, not one. There is none righteous. No, not one. In another place it says, in Adam, all die. We all die in Adam. And so in chapter 3, the first thing I want you to notice is we have the account of that colossal event when Satan, as it were, brought man down into sin and death. There it is, Genesis 3, the fall of Adam and the fall of mankind. This has touched every one of our lives here and out there. The fall of Adam. But then, secondly, and this is really what I want to bring your minds to focus on. Secondly, in this chapter, which you might say, this is a dark chapter. This is an ugly picture. But in this chapter, the gospel is proclaimed. In Genesis chapter 3, the gospel is proclaimed. Some people have called it the first gospel or the first declaration of the gospel. Think about this, that in that very day of the fall, the Lord announced Christ. There it is, the great proclamation of Christ to come. That's what you find in verse 15 when he talks about the seed of the woman. He's saying, do you know, and you know he's speaking to Satan, he's saying, but the seed of the woman is coming. And that one is Christ. And the Lord declares the work that Christ will do in three words. In three words. It's not three in English. He will bruise your head. He will bruise your head. Literally, he will bruise you, Satan, at the head, in the head. Now, this statement, you can see it there in Genesis 3:15. He will bruise your head. Satan, Christ, devil, Christ will bruise your head. That's what God is saying to the devil. He will bruise your head. Now, what he meant by this is explained in later scriptures. What did God mean when he said to the devil, the seed of the woman, Christ, will bruise your head? The writer to the Hebrews explains it. He says this, that the Son of God shared in our flesh. He says, and he shared in flesh and blood, he says, and these are his words, that through death he might destroy him who has the power of death, that is the devil. The writer to the Hebrews is telling us, that's chapter 2, verse 14. Do you understand what it meant to say to Satan, he will bruise your head? It meant he will destroy you, Satan. God announced on that day that Christ would destroy the devil. And the Apostle John says something similar in his first letter. He says this, for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, and these are the words, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Think about this. The Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. You know, the devil is also named Apollyon. Do you know what Apollyon means? It means the destroyer. And the Bible is saying to us, you know, the destroyer will be destroyed. The one who sought to destroy us, he will be destroyed by Christ. We are talking about Christ's coming to do a work of destruction. destruction, to destroy the devil. Now, bear with me for a moment, because this truth, this prospect, is traced, and it is expanded, and it is echoed throughout the Bible. For example, at the end of Paul's letter to the Romans, he just says this to them: "The God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly." And the Bible speaks like this: the destruction of the devil has been declared and announced. Now, I want to unpack this just for a few moments. What is Christ doing? What has he done? What will he do? What does it mean that the seed of the woman, who is Christ, will bruise the serpent's head, will destroy the devil? What does it mean? What does it mean that he will destroy the works of the devil? So this is the doctrine of Scripture, that Christ comes to destroy Satan and the works that he has done. Well, first, Jesus Christ destroys the sin and guilt of his people. In John chapter 12, as Christ is facing the cross, he says to them, "Now the ruler of this world will be cast out, and I, if I am raised up, will draw all men to me." You see, Christ, first of all, came to destroy the sin and the guilt that Satan had introduced into this world and into our lives. Jesus Christ has destroyed that by his obedience. He has, as it were, put obedience in the place of disobedience, and by his blood he has taken away, as it were, our sin, our guilt, and he has given us his righteousness. This is the saving work of Jesus Christ, and it destroys the works of the devil in us. The Bible speaks about us, the believer in Christ, being clothed in his righteousness. Our filthy rags being taken away and being clothed in his righteousness. It talks in many places about being washed whiter than the snow in the blood of the Son of God. When Paul wrote to the Colossians, he said that Jesus Christ, he said he came and he disarmed principalities and powers, triumphing over them in the cross. So the first thing we can say is that Jesus Christ destroys the sin and guilt that is part of the work of the devil. Secondly, our Lord Jesus Christ destroys the lies of the devil. Men are captured in his deception. He is the father of lies, and millions live, as it were, trapped in this world, blinded by him, deceived by him. But Jesus Christ is the Word of God. And when he came, he said to them, he said that he would not speak even his own word, but he would speak the words that God gave him. Jesus Christ is the ambassador or the mouthpiece of God the Father. And he speaks and he gives to you and me the truth. He describes himself that way. He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." In another place, he describes himself as the light of the world, and the light of the world dispels the darkness that Satan has cast over this world. Paul, when he wrote to the Corinthians, he says to them, he says, "Do you know what our weapons are? We don't fight him with the weapons that a soldier would use. No. We fight with arguments, with statements of truth. We use the truth of God to expose his lies and to, as it were, be rescued from the lies which are governing this world." This is the second way that Christ destroys the works of the devil. He destroys the lies of the devil with the pure and certain statement of the truth of God. Thirdly, our Lord Jesus Christ, I'll say destroys or has destroyed death. He has destroyed death. He says to his disciples, he says, "He who believes in me, listen, will never die. Will never die." Christ came to give us eternal life. That is the antidote to death, the death that the devil gave. The death, think of the death of the soul and the death of the body and eternal or second death. But Christ came to give us spiritual life in the soul by the Holy Spirit and to open the tombs and raise our bodies to life and to spare us from the second death and to raise us into the enjoyment of eternal life in the presence of God. With Christ, it is all life, not death. What a contrast. Listen, he rose from the dead. And when he rose from the dead, the Bible says, he rose as the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. In other words, there's a whole army of believers coming out of the graves after him and with him. Christ is risen, but he's only the first to rise. The day will come when he will sound the trumpet and he will open the graves and he will summon his children out of their graves to meet him and to be with him forever. He destroys death. That's the third thing. So he destroys the sin and guilt of his children. He destroys the lies that deceived them. And he destroys death. More than this, fourthly, Christ spoils the strong man's goods. Do you know what I mean? Christ comes in order to snatch away those people who have been captured by the devil to do his will. He describes it as going into a strong man's house and taking away from him what he has captured. It speaks in the Bible about Christ setting the captive free, giving us liberty, releasing us. How does he do this? He sends his Spirit to give us true freedom. The born-again man has a liberty. It's called Christian liberty. It's a freedom that the world knows nothing about. The great truth of Christian liberty. The man who is not born again, still trapped in Satan's little house, if you like. He doesn't know what liberty is. He has bondage, captivity. But Christ for us, and for all who come to him, Christ has destroyed that captivity, destroyed that bondage. He's opened the prison. No wonder Charles Wesley wrote, "My chains fell off. My heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee." That's an account of conversion. That's what it is to be delivered from Satan's power. He spoils the strong man's goods. Paul in Colossians says, he has transferred us out of the power of darkness and into the kingdom of the Son of his love. That's what he does. He destroys the bondage of the sinner. He releases the captive. He gives the blind their sight. All this is destroying the work of the devil, taking his victims from him. He takes the victims of Satan from him. No wonder there is joy in heaven over one sinner that repents. There's great joy over one who is rescued. But it's not one. It's millions. It's millions. In the history of this world, from the time Christ ascended, millions have been brought to Christ. Millions have been set free from Satan. His goods are being spoiled today. Perhaps somewhere today in this country or abroad, there may be hundreds of people coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ and being set free from Satan. It's happening in countries like Iran. It's happening in places like China and at many other places where you wouldn't expect it. Pakistan, Nigeria, millions are coming into the freedom of Christ. Satan is losing his captives. He's losing his victims. Fifthly, the Lord Jesus Christ destroys or will destroy, listen to it, the armies of hell. Let us not forget that Satan led in his rebellion an army of angels. And he is, as it were, conscripted into his army many, many people. Sad to say, there are many in this world who can be described as the seed of a serpent or the children of Satan. And while, as it were, Christ destroys his work by rescuing millions from his grasp, he also will destroy the armies of hell. Peter, in his second letter, he says this, the angels who sinned, right? He cast down to hell, but listen, reserved in chains of darkness, reserved for judgment. Jude repeats the same thing. You see, those angels who have joined the side of the devil, you'll find this in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, Jude verse 6. He says, the Lord has cast them down to hell, delivered them into the chains of darkness, and is reserving them for the judgment of the great day. In other words, those rebellious angels, their doom is awaited. The day is coming when Christ will finally destroy them. Furthermore, those men and women who have remained on Satan's side, he will also judge and destroy them. This is very sober. That there are some in this world who are not on the Lord's side. Many, I'm sorry to tell you, who are on the side of Satan. They are following him, but they are marching to their destruction, everlasting destruction. In Revelation chapter 18, we have this. And he cried, this is one of the angels, he cried with a loud voice, and this was the cry. Listen, Babylon the Great is fallen, and has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. Ah, the nations will drink the cup of the wine of the wrath of God. And this is the warning of Scripture. Christ will destroy his enemies. Make no mistake about it. It says, and anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. All causes of sin are going to be swept aside and removed. So, we have seen the destructive work that Christ is doing against the devil and his works. He has destroyed the sin and guilt of his people. He has destroyed the lies of the devil in their minds. He has given them the scriptures in his hand. He has spoken to them the words of life. This destroys the works, the lies of the devil. Read that. And you will not be deceived. Get that inside you. Thirdly, we have seen that he destroys death. We are heading to the day of the resurrection, the opening of the graves. And fourthly, he spoils, isn't this good? He spoils the strong man's goods. In other words, he takes people like me and you who've been captured by the devil and he takes us from his power and sets us free. That's destroying the work of the devil in us. And fifthly, he has a time coming when those who will not repent will also perish. except you repent, you will also perish, said Christ in his ministry. But sixthly and finally, and this is the last thing, Jesus Christ will destroy, I'm going to put it that way, he will destroy the devil himself. He will destroy the devil himself. Listen, Revelation chapter 20, verse 10. And the devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Now, we need to understand that this destruction is not the ceasing to exist. It's not that Satan will cease to exist, but his existence when Christ returns and from the day of judgment will be a living hell. People say in this world, we've been through hell. No, they haven't yet. Endless torment without relief. Tormented day and night, it says. They will be tormented day and night forever and ever. That is destruction. There is no glory to the devil in that. Now, all I would say to you tonight to close is this. Genesis chapter 3, these words, he will bruise your head. Those are precious words of life to us. And it makes us ask a question. And the great question it puts to every man is this. Who is on the Lord's side? Or to put the question another way, which side are you on? Who is on the Lord's side? And from all this, we know that there is a kingdom coming. It's the kingdom of Christ and of God, which is an everlasting kingdom in which there will be no more pain, no more crying, no more tears, no more death, no more unrighteousness, only righteousness, only peace, only joy, and God alone and Christ will be glorified on that day. All that has, as it were, offended against his glory, taken away. That's where we're going. Who is on the Lord's side? Who's coming there with us? May God help us. Amen.